To begin, I'd like you to reflect and think about what you most want with your one precious life. What do you want for your relationships? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your work? How about your community? What do you want for your planet? Now I'd like you to look at your neighbor and envision, what do they want? What do they crave? Go a little further than that, somebody in the next city, the next state, around the world. What do your friends want? Now, I'd love to see a show of hands, how many people said gender equality? Okay, I see a couple. We're gonna try to change that. So my bold claim to you is that none of us can achieve our desires to their fullest until we achieve gender equality. This isn't to say gender equality is the only issue we need to work on. We have racial inequality, economic injustice, and many other types of oppression. But today we're gonna focus on gender. I can't take credit for this idea. It came from my faith, the Baha'i faith. And I'd like to share a quote with you from Abdu'l-Baha, who said 114 years ago, which is pretty radical, then and now, "The world of humanity is possessed of two wings, the male and the female. So long as these two wings are not equivalent in strength, the bird will not fly." My second claim is that we cannot achieve gender equality until we transform how we view what is associated with the masculine and how what is associated with the feminine. So right now, we think of our jobs, the attributes, the qualities associated with the masculine, and think of the jobs and attributes and qualities associated with the feminine. We need to value these evenly. I'm sure there's many of you in the room who might be thinking, hey, I believe in equality, I'm on board. Who here believes in equality? That's everybody, awesome. The women might be thinking, I'm in the United States, we have equal protection under the law. I'm sure all you men are respectful and you encourage the women in your lives. But in my work with educators, with teens, with parents, with college students, I found a lot of mixed reactions to this claim. Some people believe we've already achieved gender equality, we're there. Some people believe we cannot ever achieve it, it's impossible, we're too far away. And a lot of people prefer not to talk about it. Talking about equality and gender can be challenging because it really forces us to think about our values and because the problems are difficult to solve. But in my experience, these are conversations absolutely worth having and problems absolutely worth solving. So what do we mean when we say gender equality? Many of us think of rights, pay, advancement. We wonder how many Fortune 500 CEOs are women, fewer than 5%. How many women are in Congress? Fewer than 20%. And how many countries around the world have laws that prohibit women from taking certain types of jobs? Over 100. And yes, legal structures and structures in society are critical to achieving equality. But we see that despite the widespread acceptance of gender equality in principle, everybody here raised their hand that they believe in equality. We haven't gotten there yet. And it's because we need to transform ourselves at the level of our attitudes, beliefs, and values. And we can see this when we see our romantic and personal relationships, our biases, and our rigid gender norms. So looking at our intimate and romantic relationships, we can see an inequality that exists. You might ask, do both partners have equal decision-making power, equal control, equal sense of satisfaction when it comes to finances, to sense of well-being? And if both partners work outside the home, do they evenly share the burden of housework, childcare, all that stuff that's called the second shift? And if assault, abuse, and controlling issues enter the relationship, and as many as 1 out of 3 women in every society around the world, including the US, have experienced, we can see how critical it is to achieve equality at the level of the relationships. And how about our biases? Research shows that many of us hold attitudes, assumptions, preferences at the subconscious, invisible level. So we might have attitudes towards others based on race, on gender, sexual orientation, etc., and not even know it. So that's the bad news. We might be a little racist or sexist, myself included, and not even know it. But the great news is that by addressing and recognizing these biases, we can take the first step in dismantling their power. And we can finally see each other for who we really are and who we can be. So how does this show up? Here's an example. There was a group of scientists who were looking to hire a lab manager. They were given two candidates who had almost the exact same background, the exact same qualifications. But across the board, the scientists preferred, can you guess which candidate? The male candidate. They were more likely to offer him the job. They were more likely to want to mentor him. They saw him as more competent. And they even were going to offer him a 13% higher salary. And this was true for the female scientists. They had the same bias against the female candidate. And how does this affect us as job applicants? Research shows that when women are looking to find a job, they look at the job qualifications, and they need to have all 10 in order to feel confident enough to apply. Dudes, on the other hand, when looking for a job, only need 6 out of 10 to feel confident to apply. So this shows that our own genders can influence how we view our own capacity, regardless of our reality. So think of the potential we can unlock when we can eliminate these biases and see each other and ourselves in the real light. And rigid gender norms. So we have G.I. Joe, we have Barbie, they've gotten a bad rap. But we know we've all been socialized from a young age to behave, to have certain expectations based on our genders. And the work I do with relationships, I get to talk to teens and tweens, folks across the country about their lives. Last month, I was invited to visit a tribal college in Wisconsin, in Ojibwe community. In meeting with the youth, I asked them to come up with a list of the pressures that the guys they know experience and the pressures the girls they know experience. This is what they came up with. They said men can't show emotion, they have to be the provider, you have to be a real man, you have to be hot, and you can't take advice from a woman, and you certainly can't cry. The women said they feel pressure to be nice, to cook and clean, to be someone they're not, to be fit and skinny, to take care of family, to be submissive, to be tall, blonde, and skinny. So we see that even in 2016, we have these pretty rigid gender roles. And the most heartbreaking thing I hear from boys of almost every single background is that they feel an incredible pressure to hide and conceal their true selves. Because if they show their emotions to the world, if they open up, they're not manly enough. They get called a coward. And the most heartbreaking thing I hear from the girls I talk to is that no matter how much they achieve athletically, academically, no how much they serve their community or their family, what matters most is how they look. It's how hot and sexy they are. So I want you to consider if it's at least possible that some of the violence we see, some of the senseless acts of hatred, the mass shootings, the intimate partner violence we see, might be connected to these dynamics. Because if we're asking our boys as a society to shut out all the feminine, and we're telling them, be a man, don't act like a girl, what are we telling them about how they should respect and view girls and women? And what are girls and women learning from that as well? So we can see that we have an incredible opportunity to transform our youth and our society by moving beyond these gender roles. Now, you might be wondering, how do we get to equality? How do we develop these healthy relationships? I have 3 suggestions, and again, these don't come from me, I don't deserve credit, they come from my faith. One, we need to agree on a couple things about equality. Number one, we need to agree on our primary identities as human beings. We need to see that all human beings are worthy of respect and dignity, no matter what. Then, our secondary identities, our genders, our ethnic orientation, our background, can be points of celebration instead of points of division. Because the moment you can see someone is less than human, is the moment you can oppress them, demean them, or objectify them. So if we celebrate our shared humanity, we'll be closer to unity, to security, and to peace. The second thing we need to agree on is gender equality in principle. Women and men have been and are equal. Gender equality isn't just a desired state we're trying to get to. Because the things that make humans human, their potentialities, their characteristics, their qualities, men and women without distinction. And neither can claim superiority over the other. Also, we need to see gender equality is not a woman's issue. This is a human issue. And men directly benefit from women's equality. If we see it that way, it's not a contest for power. If Finally, we absolutely need men and boys to be engaged in this process. The third and final thing we need is to more evenly value what has been associated with the masculine and the feminine. So the new age will be an age less masculine and more permeated with the feminine ideals, an age in which the masculine and feminine elements of civilization will be more evenly balanced. And this again was said by Abdu'l-Bahá. So here are some attributes and qualities that we have seen associated with men and masculinity and women and femininity. And maybe you can take a look at it and think about which ones do you embody? Which ones are you strong in? And we know that these qualities are not limited to a single body or gender, and that we need all these qualities to become our true and best selves. And we need to value these qualities evenly to allow ourselves to manifest them. Let's look at some jobs and roles and types of service that have been associated with men and with women. What can we observe? Looking at the guy's side, we see construction, engineering, medical profession, commerce. These are things that you can quantify. They're associated with the more of the material world, right? You can measure them, you can look at the product. So it makes sense that in a more materialistic society, these jobs are more highly paid and have higher status. Let's look at those feminine jobs. Social worker, nurse, people who raise children. These are associated with the generation of a new society. But the hard part about this work is it's hard to quantify, it's hard to measure. And you also notice that most of these jobs were unpaid, they were non-monetized up until 100, 150 years ago. They tend to be lower pay, lower status. But if any of you has had the privilege and the burden of helping someone transition into this world or helping someone transition out, either by raising kids, being an educator, or taking care of the elderly or someone passing on, you know this is some of the most demanding and challenging work you can do. It's hard physically, it's hard financially, it's hard spiritually, it's hard emotionally, but it's also some of the most important work we can do. So the answer to gender equality isn't getting women and girls to universally move into fields dominated by men. Though I will acknowledge we absolutely need women in those fields. And the barriers that women have overcome have been incredible. But we also need our men and boys to move and take on some of the work done by the feminine. Because when we value both of these roles, both fields, all the different kinds of service, that's when we'll really have achieved gender equality. So, I want you to think back to about 8 minutes ago and think about what you wanted. Think about what you thought your neighbor wanted. Think about what you thought people around the world wanted. Now I'm going to guess that your wants are all quite similar, even in this room. Because research on human behavior shows that in 2016, when asked, the average person will say they want to be happy. And research on happiness shows that we need a few things. After having our basic needs met, we need to belong. We need to have a sense of community. We need to connect. We also need to have purpose. We need to matter. We need to change the world around us. And then we need safety. Safety is a sense that we can try new things. We can stretch. We can make mistakes. And we need love. Yes, love. And not just the Hallmark Valentine's Day love, that can be nice, but the love that you experience between your family, your coworkers, your teammates, even sometimes somebody on the train. This is the stuff that we feel like dying without. And I want you to guess what we need a balance of in order to have love. Masculine and feminine, right? Because love, which can be seen as an action versus as something we passively receive, requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to open our hearts, to be empathetic, emotional, to be communicative. So if we shut out our feminine side, we can't have love. And if we don't have love, we don't have happiness. Harvard University's Grant study, which is a $25 million study and the longest study in human development, looked at the lives of 250 men from birth to the very end. And it wasn't the stuff that we traditionally associated with male success and power that made them happy. Wasn't their jobs, wasn't how much money they made, wasn't their status, wasn't how much education they got. It was the number and quality of their intimate and warm relationships. It was how much they loved. So I want to invite you to consider what you value in yourself. What do you think you bring to the table? And I want to invite you to develop a more balanced masculine and feminine self, to be a bird with two wings. Because I've seen in my own life how this can bring you more joy. Up until I was about 23, I was kind of a half-winged bird, okay? So I was very feminine on the outside, and I was very empowered. I was, you know, track captain, I ran for class president, I spoke out, but I didn't really respect the feminine. I didn't want to learn how to cook. My friends who studied elementary education, I was like, why are you doing that? Why are you throwing away your opportunity to have power and status? Become a lawyer. I was afraid that if I was too feminine, I'd be considered weak. I'd internalize what the world had told me to value and use that to view myself and others. And it wasn't until I went deeper into my faith, had some great mentors, and grew up a little, did I see what I was missing out on. I was missing out on half myself. So I began the conscientious process of valuing the feminine in the world and those around me and in myself. And I haven't gotten there yet. It hasn't been easy. It's been a work in progress. But I think I've become a better partner, a better coworker, a better community member because of it. Because without love, you can't lead. So I invite you to develop those two wings and keep them strong. And finally, just think, a few hundred years ago, around the world, women were the property of men. We can take hope in the progress we have made. Gender equality won't happen overnight, but we know the tides are already shifting, and it's absolutely possible. It'll just take each one of us transforming little by little to get there. But I promise you, when we arrive, we'll each be so much better off. Thank you.